so much, Kurt Crockett. We appreciate you. And we got one more time to check in with you, Kurt. It's going to be about 7:35. So thank you so much.
Location. We are live on location at Nancy by Snack, 131 West North Avenue. Our panel of specialists are here. Questions about affordability for college, whether you're a mother, a grandmother, a great-grandmother going back to school, or a new student. We do have questions from our audience that we'll get to, but let's rejoin from Wealthy Radio, Ms. Deborah Owens and her panelists of experts.
Well, it's exciting to be here, and if you're just joining us, you have missed great information, but it's still not too late. And so we're going to continue our conversation around college affordability. And we're going to, the next two topics we're going to tackle are student loans, being cost conscious, and actually financial aid. And so often that's where many folks get tripped up on. And I'm really excited because joining us in this second half, if you will, is Tisa Silver Kennedy. She is Director of Financial Wellness for the University of Maryland, Baltimore, and also Beth Swaney, who is the college outreach for student loans or campus outreach for loans with PNC Bank. And I love that we have both of you together because both of these things go hand in hand when it comes to college affordability. And so Tisa, I wanna start with you because I think so often as someone who put two children through college, the financial aid process can be daunting. And so my first question to you is, what do parents need to do to make sure that they're leveraging all of their financial aid options at the start of their child's college journey?
I think the first step is to apply. Many people feel that I make too much money, so there's no point in filling out the FAFSA, or there's something wrong with my credit history, so I may as well not apply because I don't want to be denied. But the truth is, it's very hard to be denied federal aid. So I think the first step begins with filling out the application, no matter how difficult they think it would be. And that's the FAFSA, the free application for federal student aid. So once the student and the parent fill that out, the federal government is going to use their methodology to figure out how much the family, in theory, can afford to contribute to that child's college education. And that figure is called the EFC, Expected Family Contribution. And as a person who's filled out the FAFSA, I can tell you that EFC shocked me, you know, and even though it's shocking, it still doesn't mean that there's no eligibility there. So step one, of course, is apply. Regardless of what you think that EFC might be, just apply and let the federal government do their work to tell you what's next.
Now, Beth McSweeney, you are the campus relations manager, and tell us a little bit about how you coordinate with parents around financial aid and student loans. How does that process work?
Well, one of the things that I do is when I'm speaking with families and with students and their parents is to make sure that, like Tisa mentioned, was that they're filling out the FAFSA, that they are exploring all the possibilities, not just worrying about, oh, you know, it's all loans or whatever, that they are really looking at what types of financial aid are available, what types of financial aid they qualify for, and asking questions. Not just leaving it, but going and speaking with the folks that are at the college that their student is looking at attending. So they're as fully informed about the process as possible. And I'm a first generation college graduate, so I well remember my mother and father thinking they had no idea what they were doing. And basically, it's a matter of asking and being a part of the process and bringing your child into that process as well. The student needs to be really the one that's mostly involved because a lot of us as parents think, you know, well, we know what we're doing or we hope we know what we're doing. But to make sure that the child is involved in the process as well.
Well, Tisa, to Beth's point, making sure that the child is brought into the process, what advice would you give parents around affordability, right? So let's say I have a child who has their heart set on maybe going out of state or going to an Ivy League, and you know, our family resources are limited. What approach would you suggest that a parent in this situation take so that they don't find themselves in a situation where they've taken off, bitten off more than they can chew?
I think that as parents, you've got to have some candid conversations with your children, but not necessarily the hard, you can't go there. I don't like to tell anyone that they can't do something, but I'd rather ask them, why do you want to go? For instance, many people say, I want to go to Harvard, I want to go to Princeton. Well, what is it about that particular school that makes you want to go there? Is it the name or is it the program? If you're interested in engineering, maybe MIT or somewhere else would be Morgan would be a better option for you and a more affordable option for the family. So I'd say don't necessarily crush their dreams, but make sure that they're making a realistic, practical decision about what they'd like to do next.
That's interesting that you say that. So, and I'm a true believer in that because, you know, sometimes using a hard, fast rule, well, you can't afford that college. But if you have, I believe that if you have a gifted child and they're bringing to the table that kind of competency and are excelling well in school, that puts them maybe in a different situation where they might be able to apply and get into those types of schools because of their merits, right? But to that end, Beth, the question I have for you is, as a parent, what is a red flag for if I'm taking off more than I'm biting off more than I can chew when it comes to not only I've got my financial aid, now I have to bring loans to be able to afford. What kind of advice do you give parents?
It's funny, I was just addressing that with some families the other day when I was talking, or with students and families. One of the things you want to be looking at is what you reasonably can afford, and that involves looking at down the road. Okay, so if I'm going to take out $20,000 in loans this year, am I going to need to take out 20 next year or 25? Or am I going to need to take out excuse me, more and more and more? And there are a lot of loan calculators out there. Bankrate.com, PNC's Education Lending Services website, University of Maryland, Baltimore, I'm sure. I'm looking at Tisa, and she's grinning at me. I'm sure that they all have resources like that. Colleges have different calculators on their websites. So to take a look at how much am I looking at borrowing each year in order to make sure that I'm getting through college each year, and not, oh gosh, I borrowed $20,000 this year and now I can't afford to go because I know I can't afford to make payments on this, let alone $80,000 at the end of 4 years.
Yes, I think sometimes we don't look at the long-term impact of the situation that we're making today. I want to let our audience know, if they're just joining us, this is WEAA's Coffee and Conversations, and our conversation this morning is around college affordability. We're talking about the fact that yes, you can, but if you're going to make sure that your child or you are able to attend college, that you do it in a smart way and don't jeopardize your financial future and put your financial future in jeopardy. So in this next hour, actually, we're talking about financial aid and student loans and how you do that effectively. And on our panel is Tisa Silver Kennedy, and she is Director of Financial Wellness for the University of Maryland in Baltimore, and also Beth McSwaney, who is Campus Relations Manager for PNC Bank. And I want to make sure that our community is not only listening to this conversation, but that you pay this information forward to people in your circle. I know that we have people calling Wealthy Radio on Tuesdays evenings at 7 p.m. and saying, oh, how do I get out of student loan debt? I've got all of this debt. And one of the ways that you learn how to do that smartly is learn what resources are available to you. And that's why we're having this conversation this morning. We're at Nancy by Snack right here on North Avenue, 131 North Avenue, and being hosted by a wonderful restaurateur, and we're excited about the coffee and all the goodies that Kevin Brown is putting out here in front of us. But we not only want to have coffee and snacks and conversation, but we also want to feed your wealthy appetite, is how I like to convey it. And so, Tisa, my next question to you is, as it relates to this financial aid process, let's really talk about that FAFSA and how parents go through the process effectively. So you talked a little bit about expected family contribution. What are some other tips that you would give parents around filling out that FAFSA so that they make sure that they're leveraging it? Because there are differences in terms of what you would be awarded. You know, some are loans that you start paying interest immediately, and some you're not. So give us a little bit more insight on that.
So let's talk about the loans first. There are two varieties of federal student loans, subsidized loans and the unsubsidized loans. The subsidized loans are the ones that have a pause in interest while the student is in school. So the interest is not accruing until after the student graduates or departs from the school. The unsubsidized loans are the more expensive variety because the interest starts accruing immediately. As undergraduate students, there is the ability to tap into both of those pools, but for graduate and professional students, the subsidy no longer exists. So when it comes to the FAFSA, of course, the first step is to apply, but the second step, I'd say, is to be honest, because there's some services out there that will encourage people to manipulate figures and basically try to manipulate the system in order to get different types of aid, and I am strongly against that. So I would say be honest, make sure that you apply, and also consider the schools that you're applying to and tap into those schools as resources for information. One thing that several studies have revealed about first generation and minority students is that there is a fear somewhat of using the school as an actual source of information, and there's more of a tendency to rely upon informal networks. And within their informal networks, most of the people have not attended college. So you find people going into school with misinformation. So tap into the school's actual financial aid offices, and their counselors are readily accessible. You can go to the school's website. I'm sure you can find a directory. And make sure that that counselor knows your name, but for a good reason.
So what you're saying is that parents need to engage with that school and not feel like they've got to carry the whole weight of having that form and that application filled out. And you may find other different scholarships and those kinds of things that are available, work study programs that you may not be aware of. Gotcha. So Beth McSwaney, in that regard, I filled out my FAFSA. When and I learned what my contribution is going to be, my expected family contribution is going to be. I don't, perhaps I don't have all of the funds available to me. At what point would I be directed to, like, a bank to finance that other aspect of school?
What I usually tell families is that you should only be looking at additional loan sources once you know what you really need to be borrowing. As Tisa said about the student loans from the federal government, you want to be looking at utilizing those resources first. You want to look at what am I getting from the federal government, what am I getting from the state government, what am I getting from institutional funds and private sources, and using private education loans as a gap filler, basically.
When you say a gap filler, so take us through the process. What kind of loans are available for parents so that they understand what they're, because there are different types of loans, even on the private side. So give us a little bit of insight to how that works.
Well, in addition, let me step back on the federal side. There are also PLUS loans. The old acronym was Parent Loan to Undergraduate Students. That's where they came from, PLUS. That a parent can borrow to bridge that gap, that's one option. And it's a choice for a parent. In addition to that, there are both private education loans that a student can apply for, and there are some lending institutions now that do have loans that are function fairly similarly to the PLUS loan, where it's in the parent or maybe a grandparent or someone else's name. But those are filling those gaps between what the student needs and what the student receives in financial aid. And when I say need, I also encourage students to look at their budget, because just because a school's cost of attendance is X dollars, and when I say cost of attendance, it's not just the tuition fees, living expenses, book supplies, and transportation are usually what count as cost, but to really look at what their budget is. You don't have to live in the most expensive place. You can get a roommate. You can find other ways to make that budget reasonable so you are not borrowing nearly as much.
Oh, the magic word budget, but how many people actually have one is the issue. And so to that end, how do I create a budget for my child attending college? It's something I've never done before. So to either of you, where would you start?
I would start with the school's website. For the University of Maryland in Baltimore, we have very detailed explanations of the cost of attendance and all the components that are included in it. So it begins with the direct costs, which would be things like your tuition and your fees. The indirect costs are your room and board, and that's where the student has the most influence over how much college costs. So you can decide whether you'd like to live off campus, on campus, with family members, and that type of decision is one that's really going to have the largest impact on how much your, how large your budget is. And I'd also like to just add one note about the PLUS loan that Beth mentioned. The PLUS loans have a credit check that's required. So for parents, if you know that paying for college will be difficult for you, one step you can take, a very proactive step that you can take in order to bridge that gap, is get your credit checked. Pull your annual credit report for free and make sure that there are no items in that report that are fraudulent, inaccurate, or that may prevent you from accessing the Parent PLUS loan.
Well, it's interesting, though. You talked about the parent. I'm glad you brought that up, the Parent PLUS loan. So if I'm a parent, are you saying that I am going to, then that is my responsibility, right? So if you go, just so people understand, you go through the FAFSA process. Clearly, I've been through this, right? So you go through the FAFSA process. Your kid is awarded, you know, either a subsidized loan or an unsubsidized loan. And then if that is enough to cover what those are expenses are, and oftentimes they aren't, particularly for room and board, then you're either going to have to come out of pocket and pay for that room and board, or you're going to have to get additional funding, right? So when you apply for that, the loans that are unsubsidized or subsidized, those loans are actually in the child's name, and they're responsible for it. And they go through a process, and they know they're responsible for it because there's even a interview at the end that you have to take. But when you get into the Parent PLUS loans, I'd like for you to, if you could, Beth, just help parents to understand that now your child isn't responsible for those loans. You are personally responsible for them.
That's correct. The person who's applying for the loan, and in this case of a Parent PLUS loan, it's the parent. So that loan will be in that parent's name. And there's no transferring it off to anyone else. The student can't take it over, although I will admit I've had students who the parent took the loan out, but the student and the parent have that agreement where the student is going to repay the loan. Those loans can be deferred until 6 months after the student separates from school or drops below halftime status. Halftime is usually defined as whatever the school is calling it, but most undergraduate programs call that 6 credits. So.
Yeah, but, you know, the only reason I bring that up is that, you know, talk about budgeting. What parents need to understand that in some cases, if you're going to take on that additional debt, you're going to jeopardize your financial future, meaning once you have to start paying on those loans, you're probably not going to be able to contribute to your retirement account at work. And the issue that I think oftentimes for parents, yes, you want this dream for your child, but at the same time, you can't take out a loan for retirement. And so I'm going to pose this question to either of you. If I'm getting into that situation where I'm looking at having to take on that additional loans, what does the conversation need to be with the child?
I think we need to go back to that candid conversation about the reality of your family's finances, and you have to say, let's say Yale is the school of choice. Yale is a great school. Why do you want to go to Yale? What's the program that you're going to major in? What's the income potential for a person majoring in that program? And afterwards, what will repayment look like? And if I'm involved as a parent in borrowing, we have two types of repayment to consider: what that looks like for you as the student and what that looks like for me, the parent. And if that conversation goes well, then you may have a student who revises the decision about where they'd like to go.
So basically, I think what we're hearing is that you really need to have a reality check, right? And it is about understanding, you know, what we can actually afford. And going back to our prior conversation, if it really is a dream and you really are academically gifted, then it really is going through those scholarship process and understanding that if you really are going to go to one of these Ivy League institutions, then you need to consider all options. This is great information. Well, folks, don't go anywhere because our conversation will continue around financial aid and student loans. On this panel is Tisa Silver Kennedy. She is the Director of Financial Wellness at University of Maryland in Baltimore, and Beth McSwaney, who is Campus Relations Manager for PNC. Don't go anywhere. This is great information. If you're listening to this program, maybe you're listening to it online, you can go to weaa.org and listen to this streaming. We're actually, I hope, going to be recording this as a podcast, but tell all your friends that we're having a candid conversation around college affordability. Yes, you can, but yes, you need to do it smartly. Don't go anywhere. We're going to continue this conversation up till the 9 o'clock hour, and I'll send it right over to Robert Shaheed.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. This is WEAA live in the community right here, also sharing some culinary delights shared with us with Kevin Brown right here at 131 West North Avenue. The topic is Yes, You Can Afford College by PNC. We'll be back with more of our panel of experts